Good morning. So, this week in the United States, it's called Thanksgiving Week. So, this morning, I'm going to be talking about the spirit of gratitude. Great is our gratitude for those of goodwill. One day, the teacher visited a man who was 107 years old. The teacher asked him, "What is your secret for living so long?" He said to the teacher, "Longevity depends on your heart." "Yes," the teacher said, "the heart is a very important organ in the body." "Well, this is not what I meant," the man said. "If there is goodwill in your heart, you will live longer. I survived and became victorious in my life only because I exercised goodwill whenever I faced an obstacle." The man told the teacher a story of a trip he took through the mountains in the winter. At one point, the man was surrounded by hungry wolves. Instead of running, he sat down and talked with them. And he said, "You can eat me if you must, but I am all bone. I will not satisfy you. Dear wolf brothers, do not eat me. You will find more appropriate food." The old man said that the wolves left him in peace because he loved them. Goodwill protects us. It creates protection. It is the only language spoken by every life form. You can speak goodwill to trees, animals, your pets, and even your enemies. All of them understand the language of goodwill. So goodwill and gratitude, to me, are like two sides of one coin. In the book Agni Yoga, verse 31, it talks about the quality of gratitude. And it says the quality of gratitude is the finest purification of the organism. Great is the healing power of the emission of gratitude. So as we begin to think and ponder on the quality of gratitude, we will begin to assimilate, we will start to assimilate this energy of gratitude just by thinking about it, just by pondering on this whole beautiful theme of gratitude. We're told, and we assimilate it, we're told that this energy can change the level of our consciousness. So this would be an exercise to practice this week. And to test it out, you know, don't accept it just because this is what the teaching says. Let's try it out. We can learn how a change of consciousness can bring a new standard into our life. We will learn how a new standard in our life will introduce new changes into our thinking, into our feelings, and the process of our activities. Illumined ones tell us that we must learn to recognize that everything that exists is a treasure. Mountains, rivers, lakes, streams, forests, flowers, birds, animals, minerals, and human beings. All of these are treasures. And we must relate to them as treasures, that all of nature, all of life is a treasure. So a treasure is something or someone that becomes a blessing to all those around and about you and to those who are also far away from you. We must be grateful for the opportunities given to us. In every major religion, emphasis is given to the subject of gratitude. And why is this? It is because the greatest gift that gratitude gives us is the chance to increase the treasury within us. So here's the definition of treasure. A treasure is an object, a power, a living being, or a virtue that multiplies and meets our physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual needs. For several years, I visited the beautiful island of Puerto Rico with members of the group who lived there. During those visits, the students took me around the island to see the island's spiritual treasures that I will never forget. And as a result, now Puerto Rico has become a treasure in my heart. One of those experiences was a visit to Jayuya. Jayuya is a small village in Puerto Rico where there is a huge boulder in a creek near the village, upon which there are many Stone Age petroglyphs. And among these petroglyphs, there is what we call a chintamani, a circle with three dots. The local people call the stone the talking stone of Jayuya. The chintamani stone is a symbol we see painted in many of the Nicholas Roark paintings. Chintamani, a circle with three dots, means the treasure of the world. Several Nicholas Roark paintings include the circle with the three dots. So let me give you the names of the paintings, and you can look them up on the internet or go to the Roark Museum, roark.org. The first are two paintings of the Banner of Peace. Then there is the Madonna Oriflama. And then there is a painting called Tibet. This painting is particularly interesting to me as it has one of several rocks displaying the three circles, much like the boulder in Jayuya, Puerto Rico. And Sophia also, the wisdom of the Almighty, has the circle and the three dots, and then also a painting called the White Stone. The Chintamani is related to the stronghold of light and symbolizes an approaching era of predestined unification and power in the country where it appears. Some people would walk by petroglyphs unaware of its sacred presence. Instead, they may look at the dense forest around the petroglyphs and see land that could be cultivated into a city for material value. Such people are without gratitude for our treasures. The Banner of Peace symbolizes an ancient origin. Perhaps its earliest known example appears on Stone Age amulets, three dots without the enclosing circle. Nicholas Roark came across numerous later examples in various parts of the world and knew that they represented a deep and sophisticated understanding of the triune of existence. But for the Banner of Peace, but for the Banner and the Pact, Roark describes the circle as representing the totality of culture. That's the circle, and you can see it right.
Ta-da!
right behind me. And the three dots represent art and science and religion. Three of the most embracing of human cultural activities. He also described, Nicholas Roark also described this circle as representing the eternity of time, encompassing the past and the present and the future. The sacred origins of this symbol as an illustration of the Trinity's fundamental to all religions remains central to the meaning of the pact and the banner today. In the centuries-old literature, Nicholas Roark found information about forgotten and sometimes unexplored phenomena of nature. He found miraculous stones, underground treasures, living and dead water, psychic phenomena, and many other things. We are told that he was fascinated by the magnitude of the thinking of the ancients and their ideas about the interrelationship of everything on earth with the cosmic world. And in this area, he saw living threads which stretched from deep antiquity to the 20th century, to the scientific interests of contemporaries. Its record, he says, is not accidental. The knowledge, and this is a quote, the knowledge changes in legends. So many forgotten truths are hidden in ancient symbols. They can be revived again if we study them selflessly, unquote. When we find these forgotten truths hidden in ancient symbols, our hearts and minds will open so that great treasures can pour into our minds from our chalice. Professor Roark constantly spoke about articles that he wrote about where he revealed to his contemporaries the wisdom of the ages, the spiritual treasures of the past. We have so much for which to be grateful. When we look at nature, the mountains, the air, the sky, the rivers, and birds, they all belong to us to enjoy, but also to protect. We also were given a mother and father, godparents, sisters and brothers, aunts and uncles, friends and teachers, all treasures. There are other treasures that we cannot necessarily see. Their love, the love that your mother has for you, your father has for you, the love of your co-workers and friends, the master and more. There are so many treasures for us to discover. Sometimes it seems like we must lose one of these treasures before we can recognize it. Often in a marriage, a person does not see the treasure that he or she has in their spouse until they walk away, and then they miss them for the rest of their lives. We must daily recognize the many treasures given to us and then cherish them with our gratitude. People live surrounded by treasures but feel empty because they are closed. So we also have inner treasures. In the Lotus Sutra, a sutra written about 500 years before Christ, there is a story about a tower. And this is the story. As Lord Buddha was talking to thousands of listeners, he suddenly saw a mighty tower rise out of the earth. This was called the Treasure Tower. At that time, before the Lord Buddha had appeared, a tower was made with seven kinds of precious stones. This tower was 4 miles high into the sky and suspended in mid-air, full of precious objects. Jeweled rosaries hung from the tower. 10,000 million jeweled bells were suspended from its top. The most precious fragrances emanated from it. Angels and gods all singing, serving, worshiping around the tower. And that story is from a book called The Threefold Lotus Sutra. The tower that emerged from the earth, symbolizing in man all the spiritual treasures that a person could have. In the age of wisdom, this treasure tower is called the inner lotus or the chalice, which is hidden within the earth, which is our body. But slowly as its treasures increase, it emerges and it blesses the world with its jewels and treasures. For billions of years, all the treasures of which we are aware or have experienced are accumulated in that diamond chalice. For example, we deposit jewels in the chalice every time we spread gratitude. Saint Paul wrote, "Carefully concealed in man are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." In a book titled Dynamics of the Soul by Torquem Seradarian, reads, quote, "Treasures are used to help people to free, uplift, heal, inspire, and enlighten people. All great ones, geniuses, talents, heroes, and real leaders share their treasures as wisdom, knowledge, love, music, poetry, dance, sculpture, and other forms. We have much to be grateful to them for they shared what they had with us. Christ said, if you want to be perfect, then sell all your belongings and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven and be one of my followers. People are often afraid to give what they have to others, erroneously thinking that they will no longer have things if they share what they have. This is so odd to me. Some people think if I have a great talent, then I need to sell the work of my talents to others. And if I do, then I will have more talents. But this is not correct thinking. The spiritual law is this: what we give to others, what we give to others goes into our chalice and becomes a treasure as we strive to reach the Tower of Shambhala, the Father's home. But what we store will be taken away from us. Isn't this interesting? What we store will be taken away from us. Money, precious stones, silver and gold, position in society, and so forth, will not last long. And all is taken away from our hands at the door of death, if not before. The other day, I watched a short video about the owners and creators of the early mansions in Manhattan Island. Each person was trying to outdo the other. Having spent millions, literally back in the day, 100 years or more ago, spending millions and millions of dollars, in this particular case, this fellow was spending his money, his millions, on his mansion on Manhattan, one of the investors, he was one of the investors that perished on the Titanic before he could move in and enjoy his new home. And now the majority of those mansions, they've either been demolished and were rebuilt by others trying to improve it, make it bigger and better and more outrageous, or they're now business buildings. Isn't that interesting? None of them now today know there is one that is still being lived in. And they spent all their millions of dollars. And that one guy died on the Titanic, so there you go. So we are told that storage is used to complicate the lives of others and to create hindrances on their path to perfection. And this whole clan of millionaires, they were in competition with one another to get the biggest and the best paintings, the best. They'd always import everything from Europe, you know, because it was better than this country. And now it's all gone, as are they. Treasures, true treasures, are used to help people, to free, uplift, heal, inspire, and enlighten. Humanity is very fortunate to have the great ones, geniuses, talents, heroes, and honest leaders to share the treasures of their wisdom, their knowledge, love, dance, sculpture, and so forth. What a miserable place in the world it would be if we did not have these treasures. Gratitude is such a beautiful and great treasure. When you see a person lacking gratitude, that person, this is going to be harsh, but when you see a person lacking gratitude, that person is working for evil. Christ said, "One cup of water given to a thirsty man will never be forgotten." The cosmic magnet immediately registers it. When a person is grateful, when they express gratitude, they emanate a kind of energy that cleans their aura and heals their body. They radiate violet-colored energy into their aura, which organizes and harmonizes all the levels of the aura and builds a bridge between themselves and the violet devas, who are the healing agents of the universe. So develop gratitude, and you will see the changes happening in your life. Torquem Seredarian shared a story with us. He said, "Girls must learn how to earn the things they need, and they must learn how to be grateful." Once, he said, I asked a 16-year-old girl, "Now that you have so many nice gifts, can you tell me what was your greatest gift?" She looked at me and tears came to her eyes. She whispered, "My greatest gift is my mother and her love and my father and my little brother." Her mother, seeing her crying, hugged her and asked, "What is wrong?" "Nothing." She said, "Well, didn't you like your gifts?" "Oh, mother." "What then?" "Mother, you are my gift." And embracing each other, they shed tears for a while. This was a great Christmas for them. And let me close with the words of the Master M. A certain warrior came under the protection of a revered hermit. After a victory, he came to the hermit and expressed his gratitude for two marvelous rescues. But the hermit said, "Ungrateful warrior, you were not saved. Not twice, but 12 times." I just love that. Isn't that great? Not twice. See, he only recognized 2 times of rescue, not the full 12. He said, "You did not recognize the most important rescues." Usually people notice the lesser rather than the greater. And that quote is from the book Fiery World, Volume 3, paragraph 578. So that was a very short talk this morning, but hopefully you will remember every single word and enjoy your Thanksgiving this week and really truly understand and recognize the treasures, you know, in our life that we have to be grateful for. It really does make a difference, you know, in one's life. So thank you and have a nice Thanksgiving.